This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 315 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
So, John, did you get a lot of shows and stuff watched? Because I did not.
I got a fair amount of shows watched. Yeah, I would say a fair amount.
A fair amount? Nice.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. No, six different shows, but multiple episodes of one. So,
okay. Well, you watched a bit more than I did.
I didn't watch any movies, though. I assume you watched 37?
No, I actually didn't watch any movies. I did forget to talk about one movie last week, so I'll mention that one very briefly, but I didn't watch any movies. We recorded, it's Monday the 27th. It's actually my 9th anniversary. We, as in you and I, recorded last week on Tuesday, because I worked a double Monday. And then Wednesday, I worked an unexpected double. And then Thursday, I tried to watch as much as I could. And then Friday, Saturday, and most of Sunday, I was gone. We were camping for the weekend. And then Sunday evening, it was the AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door pay-per-view. So that ate up all my viewing time.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, I know. You're such the wrestling fan.
How did I miss that?
I don't know how you let that one squeak by.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's what's going down there for me.
I will say that, just to jump in on the stuff that I know you didn't watch, the rewatch, or, you know, in Julia's case, first watch of Doctor Who has continued this week, with the final run of Tenet. So we did Planet of the Dead, Waters of Mars, End of Time Part 1 and 2.
Well, those are all great episodes.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the end of Tenet?
There was some hugging and some crying going on from both of us.
Yes.
Because even though I knew what was coming, like that whole season, I kept saying every time I saw him, I kept saying, I love Wilfred. Wilfred is the best. And she was on board because Wilfred is the best. But then as I told her, I knew the whole time what was coming. I knew that he will mock four times was Wilford, and that was going to be the ultimate end of him. And it was so hard to continually say, Wilford is the best. I love Wilford, knowing that, you know,
Wilford's really a piece of shit.
He did try to sacrifice himself. You know, he was like, just leave me. I'm nothing. And, you know, the doctor's right. Like, yeah, you are. You are nothing. Like, why? Why does it matter? Nope. Because you were always supposed to be this. You were always meeting up with me and headed towards this. Oh, it was tragic. It was hard. Like, again, I've seen this multiple times. I knew what was coming. I'm trying to remember what it was, though. I picked up on something this time that I was like, ooh, wait a minute. And it had to do with the Time Lords. I can't remember. I had forgotten that the number that the piece of paper that he gave to Captain Jack when he was doing his little walk around and checking in on everybody. I forgot that the piece of paper was letting him know about Alonzo from the Titanic, you know, the pilot. That was great. Hooking those two up together. But what did I see from the Time Lords that because I specifically remember telling Julia, I was like, that's going to come up a lot later on. And I can't remember. Maybe I'll think of it later. But yeah, It was good. We have not started in on Smith's run yet, because obviously you need a little cooling down period. And yeah.
So my problem with I really was not a big fan of the end of the Smith run, like that final where he aged.
Yeah.
I just I'm gonna be interested to say what you have to say. I think let me fucking talk English. I'm gonna be interested in what you have to say watching another time through here with someone that's never seen it with their fresh perspective, because it's kind of like me watching Addison watching Scream. We've watched mm-hmm. Screams 1, 2, and 3 now, and her perspective, her 13-year-old perspective on these films is just outstanding, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
giving you things to think about that you never thought about before.
Well, the way she kind of breaks them down, or the way she wonders who the killer is going to be, or the things she notices, or like what bothers her, what doesn't bother her. It's just, it's really interesting because, like, I've talked about the movies with you in the past, and my buddy Brendan loves the Scream movies, so we've talked about them kind of in detail a little bit, whatever. But it's usually like in the detail of I haven't seen these for a long time. So I'm kind of going, I'm remembering the bigger moments that stand out, not the fine-tuned moments, if you will.
Yeah. Like
when you're watching it fresh.
Oh, just hell yeah.
Just to get her fresh take on it. It's really, it's really fascinating and interesting.
So that sparked my memory and I remembered what it was. So when we see the Time Lords the first time, you know, in part 2, when they're actually sitting at the table discussing what's going on and it's all dark around them, they said... They said, what of the doctor? He's still on the loose and has the moment. And back then, what did that even mean? That meant nothing.
Yeah,
right. But this time I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, that's going to come up towards the end of Smith's run.
That's true.
Yeah. And then also when Rassilon addresses the Senate and he basically says, you know, we're going to vote on this. We can decide right here, right now, is today the day that Gallifrey falls or the day that Gallifrey rises? And I was like, oh, were they foreshadowing or did somebody just go back and watch this episode and like, oh, we're going to plug that in?
I think they're foreshadowing.
So I really like that. Again, things that didn't matter the first time I watched it, but now that I know what I know, I'm like, oh, that's so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yep. So.
Ow.
We've got a few shows to watch. I got to ask, did you. Oh, crap. Did I erase one? Whoops. Did you end up watching any of Umbrella Academy?
I watched the recap, and then I thought, I don't have time for this right now.
Okay. We watched a recap on YouTube, an 18-minute-long recap of Season 1 and Season 2, and there were a few things that they missed that I kind of filled in, but they did a pretty good job overall. Then as the episode came on, we started watching, you know, Julie would be like, well, what are they talking about there? Oh, well, they didn't mention that, but this is this. The one thing that I wish that the recaps had, or that I might just go online and show her, are the fight scenes that Five is involved in. Because every time Five is involved in one, whether it was the donut shop in the beginning done to Istanbul was Constantinople.
That was or awesome.
In the second season when he takes out the entire board with the axe. Anytime that kid is involved in a fight scene, it's fucking epic. And it's worth watching just by itself.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Some of the musical numbers that they've done in that show are amazing. And I will say this, without giving anything away, the first episode of Season 3 has my absolute favorite so far musical number. And it is fucking epic. Like, I just want to watch it on repeat. So you've got that to look forward to, my friend.
Oh, okay. No, it's not that I didn't want to watch it. What happened was, is it was Thursday night. And, you know, it's really heavy to watch Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, and the Orville back-to-back.
Especially this week.
Yeah. So I had watched those back-to-back, and then I'm like, all right, it's early enough. I'm not going in the office tomorrow. I can sleep in a little bit. You know, it's like 11 o'clock, and I was like, let's see what else is on. Let's start Umbrella Academy. So I watched the recap and I was like, I just can't do it. Like I'm kind of tired, but you know what I really need to do? I need to see if The Boys is on so I can watch that. And it was like they had already posted the episode. You know, Friday's episode was on before midnight Thursday. So I watched The Boys, nice. Herogasm. And then I was like, OK, now I need to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Good note to go out on. But
yeah. So I was like, obviously, that's why when you asked about starting Westworld, I was like, nope, not going to have time.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, I'm not going to give you any kind of spoilers on Umbrella Academy, but I will say that it's good. They did not, in this first episode, do anything with Ellen/Elliot Page. It's still Vanya, but I know that they said that they handled it very well and that you will see it's not going to be Vanya, it's going to be Victor. So, but it's hard with Netflix shows because right now, like, the entire season is out. So people are posting spoilers, they're posting headlines, you know, they're like, oh, is the Umbrella Academy coming back for season 4? Oh, what does it mean about that ending? I'm like, shut the fuck up. How about you?
Yeah, I know. Most of my Twitter now is wrestling related.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just is.
Yep.
It helps me because, like, I don't like the spoilers at all. And yeah. If I can watch some wrestling related ones, then, you know, that's good to go there.
Yeah.
Ow. Why are you doing that? Simon, swap it. All right, my kitten, Simon, he's like, everything's a toy. He's the most kittenous kitten I've ever owned in my entire life. Everything is something to play with. Rather it be the hair on my kneecap or my toes. Everything is something to play with.
Yep.
And he's a good boy. He's just a good boy. He's just a good, he just wants some attention, don't you, buddy? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to bite me while I pet you? Anyhow, sorry. Yep.
So I'm looking at the rundown and yeah, we've got 4 shows to talk about that are actually no 5 shows to talk about that are all fairly heavy because you've got Strange New Worlds, the Orville, Miss Marvel's not heavy this week, but it was dense.
I did not get to Miss Marvel.
Oh,
okay. I just didn't like on it. It just didn't, I don't know. I'm going to get to it. I didn't get to it. Why don't you talk about that one? You can spoiler it for me if you'd like.
It was phenomenal. Really? I will say that they really jumped in feet first. If you want spoilers, absolutely. I'll just give you a quick rundown.
Yeah.
The majority of this dealt with her brother's wedding, and mm-hmm. it was awesome. It was so good. Like, the cultural stuff that they're doing here is amazing, but they also were really funny. Like, they brought her family in, who are African-American, and his family, and they were doing things, you know, the traditional Bollywood-style dancing, but then her family jumped in, and they added their own twist to it. You know, their vows were both tongue-in-cheek jokes towards each other. It was great. But the other end of it is, what's his name there? I want to say Kassan. Basically, the cute boy that picked her up. We got the whole backstory. Basically, her great grandmother and these other people, like his mother and these 3 other people that we meet, they're all beings from another dimension. Interestingly, they're from the light dimension, whereas, remember, Doctor Strange went to the dark dimension with Dormammu.
Yep.
So they're saying that they were archaeologist type people and they were looking for 2 bracelets. They found one of them and that's what Kamala has now. And with both of them, they can open up a portal back to their world. They've been stranded here for so long and they just want to go home. That's all they want is to go home and she can help them. Which of course, you know, I just started saying out loud, villains, villains, villains.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they just are. Listening to you talk right now, they're villains.
Yeah. They're the Djinn from the comics. They've had many names over the years, but Djinn is one of them. Her little buddy there, Brian/Bruno, you know, his real name is Bruno, but her boyfriend guy keeps calling him Brian all the time. Like, he does it 3 times in this episode. And at one point she's like, I swear to God, or he says, he's like, I swear to God, he's doing it on purpose now. But he did some calculations because he's a wonder kid, and he said, yeah, it could be possible to generate the kind of power that they need to open up a hole to another dimension, but it would be like harnessing the sun. He's like, so it could probably hurt a lot of people and kill people. And she's like, but I have to help them. Well, it doesn't take long for them to show that they're villains. Like, by the end of the episode, and that's the thing that I said kind of felt rushed, was by the end of the episode, they're like, yeah, we're not waiting. We're going after her. It's been like 12 hours. And they're like, nope, she's not helping us. She's at her brother's wedding. She's supposed to be helping us now. Fuck it. We're going. So they crash the wedding and they attack her. They all, it's interesting, they all have weapons that expand, you know, like one of them has just this little tiny piece of metal, but it expands into a giant hammer. And one has like a whip sword and stuff like that. So they all attack her and she's defending as best as she can. Boyfriend comes and breaks it up. You know, he helps her out a little bit. Her buddy gets injured, so she takes him outside the place, and her best friend there, who did get sworn in as one of the board members of the mosque, she finds out that Kamala is quote-unquote Nightlight, and doesn't get a chance to ask her about it. But of course, it's the old, you know, I'm your best friend and I'm finding out secondhand. Why did you not tell me? You know that that's coming in the next episode. But yeah, it was a great episode. It was a lot of fun. It really gave us a lot of action, you know, whereas so far the action's been kind of meh. Honestly, dude, the wedding was just great. It was phenomenal. It was fun. Like, I was getting into the music and everything. Yeah, I really liked it. So hopefully the next episode, they've only got 6 episodes, so I kind of get why they had to, like, introduce the villains and quickly, like, get them to villain status. They couldn't drag it out and then have it all happen in the last episode. We still don't know where Great Grandma is. They said that she vanished. But that was the very last scene of the episode was, so as she was squaring off against them and looking like, you know, it was going to go down, she's toe-to-toe with the big bad woman, and suddenly a bright flash of light comes out and you see a train coming straight at them. And so when she gets back to her house, you know, her parents are like, oh, tell us what's going on. What's going on? Because they didn't see any of that. They didn't know that it was her. And she's like, I can't tell you. So she's not telling her family. So that sucks. She goes to her room and her grandmother calls her, you know, Nani. And her grandmother's like, you need to come to wherever she, I can't remember where she said she is. She's like, you need to come here now. And she's like, well, I can't. I've got stuff to do. And she's like, didn't you see the train? She's like, what do you mean? She's like, I saw the train. Didn't you see the train? And that's how it ended. It was good though. Like, honestly, because I remember you had trepidations after the second episode.
I did.
This one was really good. Oh, and Damage Control did show up at the mosque, because as the friend there and the leader of the mosque said, you know, they're like, oh, you're looking for a brown girl. Imagine that. And basically told him to get out without a warrant. So that was cool. You know, they'll be coming back with one though.
Oh yeah, of course they will be.
But that's the other thing is Kamala's kind of struggling right now because everybody in the community is kind of pissed at Nightlight. They're basically saying, you know, because of her antics, they're bringing Damage Control, they're bringing the cops around, they've kind of shown a spotlight on this neighborhood, and we don't want that. We don't want people policing our streets and looking for somebody who's, you know, potentially dangerous. It's putting all of us at risk. So she's kind of struggling with that as well. Like, she recognizes that she's endangering the people of her neighborhood, even though all she wants to do is be a hero. So yeah, good stuff.
All right. I watched the 3rd episode of Dark Winds.
Still just as good?
Plus show. Yeah, I'm really digging it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm actually, it comes out on Sundays. So, like, I'm looking forward to watching. So the next episode comes out July 3rd, but it's like usually they put the next week out a week early on AMC Plus, like they used to do with, Killing Eve.
Oh, yep.
So most likely after we're done, I'll go look to see if the next episode's up so I can take a look-see.
Oh, nice. And that one's 6 episodes?
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes. They're like 45 minutes apiece. I mean, it's just great stuff, in my opinion.
Nice.
Yeah, just great stuff. Excuse me. Wow, Got a little hiccup action going on. I'm trying to struggle with here.
It sounds like you're definitely struggling.
I am.
Sound like you have to try to struggle.
Yeah, no, I'm struggling pretty hard right now. I'm a little upset. I'm working a proper definition of shit ton this weekend. So, like, I'm not going to be able to watch Stranger Things until next week sometime. But, yep, that's what's going on there in that life.
Sorry, that
sucks. Yeah. So, the Orville. What did you think of the Orville this week?
I'm of two minds about this, honestly. Like, on the one hand, I like kind of like the opposite of last week's episode. I liked the ending of this one. I was not a fan of the build up to it. Yep, basically, like the whole build up was a little bit silly. I saw where they were going with it right off. Anytime they say we're in a nebula, you have to expect that some kind of life form is going to fuck with their systems. Anything, yes. Star Trek, Star yep. Wars, anything. If it's a nebula, yep. you're going to get fucked. So I kind of saw where they were going already, but I thought it was kind of cheesy, especially considering that like the doctor and then eventually the engineer were the only ones that knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, like, for knowing everything about the book, he still seemed kind of clueless the whole time. Like, he's read this book to his daughter a million times and he wasn't like, I know what's happening next, or I need to go do this. He kind of like was bumbling his way through. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought that was odd, the way that the show kind of was laid out, if you will, like you said. excuse me. He's read this story a bunch. His daughter talks about why can't we change the ending. But yeah, he doesn't seem to know anything until that happens. He's like, oh, I should have known that was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And even when he got the engineer on board, the engineer's like, what the hell's going on? I know. I'm using the magic of science. Like, he was playing into it. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, just do something, you know, just get through it. Microwave's done.
Yeah, it is. So, but it wasn't a bad episode.
No, because like I said, the ending I kind of liked for multiple reasons. One, yeah. I liked what ended up happening with his daughter. You know, congrats on getting healed, feeling better, being able to ride out in the stars and basically be a deity. But also that means that we're not going to have like that drama going on constantly.
But I'm actually glad they finished up that storyline because of it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad like we had this, because otherwise, like, I was talking about this to someone at work the other day. Like, the great thing about Strange New Worlds is the fact that the episodes are basically standalone practically. There's really no overarching storyline from beginning to the end that we're getting built on every single week, or, you know, kind of like the X-Files, how the Monster of the Week episodes were always the best ones.
Yes.
Compared to the overall mythology episodes. And like in this here, we're not really getting overall arcing mythology. The only real story we had was the C story of the doctor's daughter, you know, mm-hmm. being in the transporter in the med lab there. And now yes. it became the A story of this episode, and we got a resolution to it. And now yep. we don't have to worry about it anymore.
We do have that lingering one about Spock's brother, which I thought was going to come up sure. more in this one when they were talking sure. to Spock's character and they were like, your brother. And I was like, oh, are we going to tie that in? No, they're just yep. using the story. I have a very important question for you, though.
Yes.
When we started this conversation, did you say, what did you think of the Orville this week or Strange New World?
I most certainly said, what did you think of the Orville?
And then that's what I thought.
And then you started talking, and I'm sitting there going like, oh, he's talking about Strange New Worlds.
I got like 3/4 of the way in, and I'm like, fuck, he said the Orville.
Well, but don't worry. I mean, I picked up what you're putting down. And I ran with it. I'm just going like, yep, I'm sitting yep. here looking at my notes for the Orville, and I'm like, yeah, he's talking nope. about Strange New World. Let me just scroll up a bit. Here we go. you know, it's one of those fun episodes where we got to see, like, the characters, not themselves.
Yes.
You know, Captain Pike was the weakling, you know, scaredy cat, you know, will turn on anybody to make sure he saves himself. And
which, after seeing him play the chef slash mutineer on that pirate ship, I feel like Anson Mount is just like, all right, guys, I'm going to write the script for my own character. Because traditionally, like, as Anson Mount slash Captain Pike, he is a stalwart, rugged, older gentleman who's just like, you know, he's fucking James Bond is what he is. And dude, now he's getting so playing these fucking characters that are awesome.
Hell on Wheels.
Yeah.
As Colin Bohannon, he was just a very angry man that killed everybody.
Yeah.
And I was there for it.
Yep. And he can do it very well.
I was a big fan of it. I think my favorite is when he had the injured leg near one of the end of the one of the final episodes or near the end of the last season there. And he's in the bar and he goes, I'll be right back. And he goes outside and you just hear like gunshots and then guys falling or guys getting broken through the windshield. So you don't really see the whole fight, but you know he's killing and kicking everyone's ass. Yes. And he just walks to the other side of the bar. And he's like, all right, that's done.
Yep.
Like,
right back. Yep.
Yeah, pretty badass. So. But anyhow, that being said, what did you think of the Orville?
I didn't watch it. No. no, I this is one, it's kind of going the opposite tact of what we were just talking about. Like, this is borderline completely mainstream story episodic.
Yeah.
Like, it's not quite to the point Discovery is, but you know, even the side stories that they're doing are all tying back to the war with the Kalons.
Yeah.
Which somebody pointed out the other day, and I had never thought about this, and it's driving me nuts now. Kalon, they were doing a review, and they were like, the Orville and their arch nemesis, the Cylons. I mean, Kalons.
Well, no, that's what I was doing last episode. I was just like, I know they're not Cylons, but what is it?
Yes.
That's not Cylon. Oh, yeah, that's right. Kalons.
But, I mean, yeah, and now both, I can't get it out of my head. So,
but they're both like Cylons, obviously, are a lot more advanced humanoid androids, not that much more advanced, if you will.
I mean,
they look like people.
Were, yeah. The toaster versions didn't, but.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. You're right. The early toaster versions didn't, yes. And that's kind of what we're dealing with the Kalons. And what about the Krill in this episode now?
Again, another great throwback to earlier seasons. That one, you know, almost it wasn't a throwaway, but it was a Monster of the Week episode where they were trapped together and got romantic, you know, because she basically infiltrated as a humanoid.
Yes. Yep.
I'm not a fan of. Go ahead.
Well, I was about to say, and you know, they had the sex one time, and of course she got pregnant. For storyline purposes.
Yep, and that's what I'm not a fan of. You know me.
Did you feel this was lazy writing in this episode? Do you think it was good for the storyline?
The only thing in this episode that I felt was good was the fact that Ed chose not to expose the daughter in order to stop the war. I mean,
yep.
On the one hand, we're talking about this threat that is going to wipe out everybody, and they need to have this treaty, and putting the girl up there would basically say, you know, you can't trust her, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, I get where he's coming from. And so that was the only part that I felt was good writing. I don't know what's going on, by the way, with the actor who plays Bordas, but he's been in like collectively 5 minutes of the show this season. And
but
this
he's
time
prepared.
It was literally just to make fun of the fact that he had a mustache at one point, which was still hilarious. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, I don't know if maybe he's off doing other things. He's just not around. Yeah, I thought that a lot of this episode could have been really good. They had a good premise. They did the throwback. You know, we're going to the Krill homeworld for the first time. They got all the actors back, you know, who played the Admirals. You know, you had Ted Danson, Kelly Hu. That was cool. But the whole, what was it, like Option 21 or something? It was something 21. where they basically just did what she did in reverse.
Oh, it wasn't Order 66?
No.
I'm sorry. Like, they are definitely stealing elements from Star Trek, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, even the Marvel Space Cinematic Universe, if you will. Like, they are just borrowing so many names or similar names or similar storylines.
Well, not only that, but, and because it's Seth MacFarlane, I recognize it, like, it's not just that they're borrowing from that, but they're straight up ripping things out of current histories. Like, the whole Talia or whatever,
yes,
rallying her people and talking about, like, the insurgents and how letting people into our planet is going to turn them against us and we're going to lose and blah, blah, blah. It was a Trump rally. It was essentially a Trump rally. And then for them to say, look, here's a fake video of him doing this, but we found out that both parties have fake videos of each other, and this is all they do is send out fake videos just to rile up their people. I'm like, how is this not just what's going on today? So they're basically saying that the warlike Krill, the ones who are ready to go to war for anything and fight everything, is America. And I wish I could make an argument that they're wrong. They're not. But again, they're cribbing from everything else out there instead of writing their own material.
Yeah, they really are. Not that I dislike it. It's just like, that's why we have the confusion of things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, it was like last week's episode did the same thing. They had another, like, ripped from the headlines, as it were. And, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. There's nothing that says you can't do that kind of stuff. In fact, some people find it really good storytelling if you can, you know, take a fantasy world or a sci-fi world and elevate an existing problem to that as almost like an analogy. But when it's literally just, I don't want to say propaganda, but when it's just you saying, you know, I have a problem with this, so I'm going to write this story based around that over and over again, it kind of loses some of its power behind it.
Yes, yes, it does.
What else did you think of the episode?
Well, as you can tell from every episode of the Orville, we have the deep narrative, or we have the political narrative, or the little. Or, there's always an underlining story in all of this. You know what I mean?
And, yep.
And I don't know. I enjoyed the episode, like you said. I feel like they're doing a lot in every episode, and they're rushing a lot of the storylines. Like, honestly, I think this could have been spread out a little bit.
I think it should have been spread out a little bit, at least a two-parter.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they got away way too easily in the end.
Yes. Yes. But anyhow, I don't know.
I would say now the only show that has more going on per episode, in my opinion, is The Boys. Like, the Orville is packed, but The Boys, I cannot get over each episode how much happens.
Dude, like, all right, first of all, the Herogasm, all right, I've heard so much, like, write a little bit of news about, like, oh, I'll never be able to watch this episode or this or that or whatever.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan can't unsee it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, because of this episode, Amazon has now created standards and practices and blah, 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 blah. I didn't really think it was that bad.
I didn't either. Julia didn't either. I've seen many people online, and that's not even being contradictory. That's just literally saying I've seen worse.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, all right, so the brother there and the Wonder Twins, you know, or TNT.
TNT! Like,
he put a camera in the toilet, and they figured it out. So real quickly, you see someone's butt and balls, like, from an angle and a weird, like, cat's eye type view. So it's not like it's clear. You know, yes, you see lots of people having sex in the background, whether it's boy, girl, guy, or girl.
They're all extras.
But they're all kind of like extras in the background, just kind of having sex. There's multiple various phases of nudity. you know, Mother's Milk gets completely coated head to toe with a giant load of cum.
But from all you the see, same dick monster that tried to choke him out in the asylum.
Yeah, exactly. You see that. You see, you know, the deep fucking octopus.
Yep.
I mean, there's
Which not really. It was just an octopus puppet hanging off his front end.
Right. Right. Exactly. You didn't actually see. It's no different than the pie fucker there from American Pie.
Yeah.
You know? So, like. Yeah. Boy, Jim. Jesus. Anyhow.
At least let it cool first.
It wasn't as bad as I kind of thought it was going to be. On the Herogasm side of things.
Right. The orgy itself was very tame. We live in a world where we've seen two girls in one cup. Okay? You can go on Pornhub and just type in orgy and see more than what you saw in this episode.
Right.
Very easily. This was pretty tame by today's standards.
Hell, you can go on Twitter and see it. You don't have to go to Pornhub. You just go look at the right accounts on Twitter. You can see all kinds of levels of nastiness.
Exactly.
You know, so Homelander and company find out that Soldier Boy's still alive. Homelander wants to keep this under wraps, say it was some sort of villain that killed everybody because he doesn't want people to know Soldier Boy's alive, and he's gonna find Soldier Boy and kill him. Mm-hmm. So essentially, everyone figures out that Soldier Boy must be going to Herogasm, and that's where they're gonna set the trap. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack. Noir cuts out his tracking chip and he disappears, abandons Homelander in his eyes because he doesn't want Soldier Boy coming from him. When Soldier Boy does confront the twins, they basically say, hey, hold on. It was Black Noir. He's the one that turned you in.
Yeah. And he basically says he wouldn't say boo.
Yeah. We find out that Soldier Boy blacks out when he goes nuclear. That's how I'm going to refer to his power.
Well, when he's not focusing it. Because like when he did it to Crimson Countess, he did not black out.
That's true. All right. So when he's focusing it, he doesn't. But when he's not, when he snaps and it happens, like what happened.
It seems to be that Russian music that triggers him every time.
Yes. Yeah. There was some music playing. It triggered him. He went full nuclear. He killed many, many, many people, both civilians, as they called it, sex workers, heroes. He just annihilated a shit ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
Homelander showed up. There was the big fight between Homelander and Soldier Boy. And then Butcher got involved because him and her, and Huey took the V-24.
Yep.
So they started fighting Homelander. That was a good fight scene.
Dude, that was the best fight scene I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that was a damn good fight scene.
I'm actually going to put that this week over the Kenobi Vader fight scene.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that personally.
Oh, I definitely would. Go ahead.
Are you still biased about Kenobi?
We'll get to that.
Okay. But I like that they all held Homelander down and Soldier Boy was starting to, like, you know, do that thing where he takes his powers away from him. And Homelander manages to get away. So I liked that. I liked that Homelander got his ass whooped.
I liked that
he got to feel fallible.
Yeah. And that last scene of him just staring in the mirror. Because he had quite the little break. Like, I feel like that was the writers trying to give us a glimpse and feel a little sorry for him. You know, where he was having the split personality kind of thing. Which, no, not going to. But, yeah. Did you want, when he was pinned down and they were about to nuke him and then he jumped up the floor, did you want to hear a wrestling referee tap the mat twice and then have him just fall off like that? Because that's what it reminded me of. You know, one, two, boom. Oh, he's up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I enjoyed the fight scene. I enjoyed that storyline a lot. I enjoyed Kimiko's storyline, you know, with Nina kidnapping Kimiko and Frenchie and Cherry. Yep. And Nina basically making like, all right, you need to choose which one's going to die. If you don't choose, we're going to kill both of them, then we're going to kill you. And putting Frenchie in a just a unbelievably unenviable spot. Kimiko manages to break free, kills everybody, even though she doesn't have any superpowers, gets her ass whooped. But Nina runs off and they manage to, like, you know, Kimiko and Frenchie. I don't remember what happened to Cherry, I'm not going to lie. But they managed to...
She charged after Nina and kind of knocked her over and then just vanished.
Okay. But Kimiko basically afterwards was like, I always thought the powers made me a monster. They didn't. I'm a monster. That's just who I am. The powers just made me more dangerous, which... But then again, that's the chicken and the egg. Was she really that way before she got her powers? Or did she become that way because she got her powers? So... A-Train. A-Train's beeline story. He goes to Herogasm.
Oh, my God.
And Huey confronts him, and Huey's ready to, like, hurt him and hurt him bad. And instead, he's like, what is it? You want an apology? You want this now? Fine. And A-Train apologizes. But before then, let's go back to Ashley standing up to A-Train, who is being, like, the bully he can be. And Ashley basically, like, look, you know, like, you're no better than Blue Hawk. How many people did you kill that we had to clean up and hide and cover up for when you were in your drugged out rages? How many people you ran through and this and that and everything else? And it never, you didn't care until it actually affected you. Then you cared what people's actions were. And I love how she freaking shut him down. Like, she needed to stand up to somebody.
Yes. And then she ripped her hair out.
Well, I thought she ripped her hair out before, and that was the catalyst of, like, fuck this. You know what I mean? And then ripping into him.
Oh, yeah, it might have been.
Yeah. And then A-Train's like, fine, I'm sorry. And then he gives Huey a very, like, real, impassioned apology for what he did and how he hurt him. And Huey was just like, fuck, no. Like, no. And I liked it when he punched him, and A-Train was like, whoa, how did you do that?
Yeah.
Because it hurt him. And then after Superboy or Soldier Boy went nuclear or atomic, whatever you want to call it, he sees Blue Hawk outside. And damn, right?
So just to preface this, like, up until this point, A-Train has not been running.
Nope.
Because basically he's so fucked up that a doctor told him it's a 50-50 chance. You have no idea. If you run again, every time you run a chance of your heart exploding and you dying. Yeah. Like, you are not healthy anymore. You can't do it. So he hasn't been running at all. And Homelander rips on him for it. And, you know, basically calls him a useless piece of shit.
Calling him fat, body shaming the hell out of him.
Yep. So, continue.
So him and Blue Hawk square off, and he's basically telling Blue Hawk, like, you're a piece of shit. You need to apologize for what you did. And basically Blue Hawk, being the racist, hateful person he is, A-Train drops him, grabs his ankle, and then runs and drags him down the road for miles, I'm assuming, until Blue Hawk is just ripped to pieces.
He started running, and I went, is he fucking road rashing him?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then
fucking road rashed him.
Oh, yeah. And Blue Hawk is definitely dead. And then at the end, you know, A-Train collapses, and we hear, like, the heart beating, and then it stops. So it's ambiguous if he's dead or not. But
the same way that it's ambiguous as to Maeve's fate.
Yes. But he's definitely down. That's for sure.
Yep. I'm wondering if that's where Noir ran off to. Because remember, Noir's the one that grabbed Maeve.
Yeah.
And now that he knows that, you know, shit's going down, I wonder if he's going to get her from wherever he stuck her.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't see her die, then she's still alive. That's the way that these shows work. That's the way that storytelling works.
Yep. And then the last kind of story is Annie. Starlight, who basically she has like 1.5 million or 1.9 million followers.
167 million.
And the girl that blows people's heads up tries to get her to, like, oh, let's commingle our social media so we can help each other. And Annie's like, no, I'm not doing that. Fucking blow my head up if you want, or get out of the way. I'm leaving. And she's basically like, well, let's tell this to anybody. And she leaves. But anyhow, so Annie.
Well, you missed one thing there.
Oh, go ahead.
before she leaves, she basically tells her, she goes, I'm going to let you in on a little something. Everyone wants to kill Homelander. It might not be impossible, just really hard. And then as she walks out, Annie's got a nosebleed. So essentially she was showing her, I could kill you without you realizing I was doing it.
Yes.
She didn't pop that her head, important. But yes. Yeah.
But Annie gets Mother's Milk to go live on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And Annie streams. And she's there at the scene of the herogasm, and she talks about how the heroes are being killed and how they weren't killed by some supervillain and how Vought's going to try to cover this up. But this was caused because Soldier Boy, who, yes, he's alive, and Homelander were fighting. And mm-hmm. that Homelander is the worst hero of them all, and blah, 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 and that she's not Starlight anymore. She's not part of the Seven. She's quit. She's Annie January and blah, blah, blah. So that was interesting.
Yeah, she basically was like, I'm probably going to be killed for this. Yeah. So if I disappear, you'll know why.
Yeah.
This could blow up in her face, though, because, you know, people like Blue Hawk are out there and they're going to be like, yeah, fuck her. Entitled white bitch, you know.
Oh, she should, Mother's blah, blah, blah. Milk's daughter's stepfather, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a big Homelander supporter. And mm-hmm. when Homelander was basically being a racist bigot on live TV or whatever it was, he was like, yeah, tell it like it is. You know, so, just on a side note, I saw some D-bag at the beach we were at the other day wearing Donald Trump swim trunks. Like you, really, really, like, not comically, not in like a ironic way, like in a I love me some Trump way.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yes, I was primarily just minorly comparing Homelander to Donald Trump.
I can see it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I remember from this episode was Huey and Starlight are basically broken up now. They didn't so much as say it, but you know, he had told her about what was going on with the V-24 and, you know, it said no more secrets. And, you know, his boss now knows that he is aware, you know, because she said that to Annie. She was like, you know, where's Huey? Oh, he's off with his grandfather. She's like, oh, good. I thought he was avoiding me because he thought I was going to make his head explode. So she's in the loop. She knows what's going on. But yeah, basically Huey was like, yeah, I'm going to keep taking this stuff because I'm trying to kill Homelander because I need to protect you. And she's like, I never asked you to protect me. I never said it. And he's like, well, I'm sick and tired. And she goes, on our first date, I asked you if it was a problem that I was stronger than you. And you said no. And he goes, well, it is.
Yeah. Well, so, apparently it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So he basically, you know, he's getting high on the stuff. And he likes feeling like he's not a victim anymore. And I kind of get it. Like,
oh,
the first time we were ever introduced to him, his girlfriend was dusted in front of him by A-Train.
Yeah.
And he's the punching bag and he's the weak one. Like, Butcher picks on him. The rest of the team picks on him. He's been the knockaround guy. And even when he tried to do the right thing, he still ended up getting the fucking boot. So I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, you know, he basically told her, you're the woman, I'm the man, I should be protecting you. And
which is, you know, fuck that.
Yeah, that didn't go over so well with her, understandably. It was, going back, dude, that fight was fucking epic, because it started off with Homelander and Soldier Boy toe-to-toe, you know, and Soldier Boy's like, yeah, I heard about you. Like, you're the new me. And he's like, oh, no, I'm the improvement. I'm the upgrade. And, you know, at one point, Homelander seems to get the upper hand, and he's like, oh, you're the first person that almost get me in a long time. But he's definitely got the upper hand. And then, of course, like you said, Butcher comes in, and because Homelander thought he killed him. You know, he was like, you know what, had a truce, it's off, and he zaps him in the chest. And now Butcher's back, and he's like, how the fuck? And then they get laser battles, you know, laser eye battles, and, you know, strength. You got people picking each other up by the ankles and slamming each other down. It was just a fucking great fight. Huey got in on it, which also made Homelander's head fucking explode. He's like, what the fuck? How does everybody have power suddenly? But the devastation that came at the hands of Soldier Boy, like, and he doesn't even fucking care. You know, that's the worst part is, like, if Homelander had that power, he would be containing it as much as possible because he's a prick, but he doesn't go out just carving up swaths of people, whereas Soldier Boy doesn't care. You know, he says, oh, I'll just take out the twins, but then he blacks out because of this stuff, but he doesn't care afterwards.
No,
you know,
he
walked in and he's like, what happened? You happened. And he doesn't, they asked him about what happened in downtown Manhattan. And he said that he blacked out and he didn't mean to hurt anybody, but he didn't seem to have the same response here at HeroGasm. So, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. We only got 2 episodes left this season.
Which sucks.
I know, because I'm really into it.
But again, like, I can't get over how much they pack into a single episode. It never, like, remember with The Walking Dead, we'd have the talking episodes where the entire episode was just people talking and reminiscing and discussing stuff. We'd be like, Jesus, get us some action. This one, it never stops. Like, there's always something happening. Even when people are sitting around talking, there's action happening. It's insane.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's very true.
Oh, so what does that mean? We've got
Kenobi.
Just Kenobi?
Yeah, the season finale of Kenobi.
Hopefully the series finale, but I know that immediately they had Ewan McGregor and Mannequin Skywalker both want a season 2. Well, of course they do. What else are they doing right now?
I love this episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Walk me through it.
I mean, okay, so let's just start with Reva, I guess, or the third sister, whatever you want to call her. She shows up on Tatooine. She wants to find Luke. You know, she's all stove up. She eventually, you know, she ends up fighting Owen and don't tell me. I know her name. Rue.
Beru.
Maru, thank you.
She Beru. Ends up
fighting.
B.
What?
B. Beru.
Beru, yeah. She ends up fighting Owen and Beru. She doesn't kill either one of them, but she kind of wins. And then she goes and tracks down Luke. And Luke is knocked unconscious after he falls off like a knife's edge type cliff walk, I guess. And then she can't bring herself to kill him because she sees herself as Anakin. She sees Luke as herself. And she can't bring herself to do it. So she brings Luke back to Owen and Beru. Of course, and by then, Kenobi's shown up. They take him off. They have a nice happy talk. We don't know really what happened to third sister. We don't know if she survived her wounds fully or whatever happened. But we know
she abandoned her saber.
Yeah, she abandoned her saber and she kind of goes on her way. We see Kenobi, and I know I'm going jumping to the end, packing up his cave. Because he's going to leave. And he goes to see Owen one more time just to say, hey, you're right. He should be a boy. He should be allowed to be a boy. And Owen's like, do you want to meet him? And he just kind of walks over and they kind of make eye contact. And Kenobi's like, hi there. And then that's the credits. So going back to earlier.
By the way, the line is hello there, and it's famous because he did that hello in there. Episode 2, I believe. And, you know, it's one of the famous, like, because it's like a seductive, he's like, hello there.
Yes.
And then right. As Alec Guinness, that was when they first met up with him, they were like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hello there.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Hello there. Sorry.
That's all right. I was more getting at the fact that it's like a key iconic moment for Obi-Wan in different areas.
So they're trying to escape, as we see from the end of part 5 and part 6. Now, you know, the Path Network people, they're trying to get away from the Empire. The Empire is chasing them down. Kenobi's like, you know what? I'm gonna leave you guys, and I'm gonna lure Vader away because he's after me. And they're like, well, you can't leave us. He's like, yeah, I can. And so he does, and he leaves Leia with fake Jedi.
Yeah.
I can't think of his real name, but you know what I'm talking about.
Kumail Nanjiani is his real name, but I can't remember.
leaves him with fake Jedi, and he pulls, and Kenobi heads off the other way. And I love when Vader's like, yeah, follow him. And the Grand Inquisitor is like, oh, surely the life of one Jedi isn't valued over trying to stop all of these uprisers and rebels. And Vader's just like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Follow him, like I said. And they do. He chases him down. And they end up down on this planet. And then we have a very, very awesome battle between Kenobi and Vader. An awesome battle where Kenobi has got the Force back, and they're Force pushing each other, and they're throwing shit at each other, and Vader's knocking piles of rocks on him, and Kenobi's holding them up, and he's bursting out, and they're fighting, and then he cuts out a big chunk of Vader's helmet. It is fucking awesome. I loved it. I thought the battle was awesome. I thought the story was great in this episode. This was my favorite episode of the bunch. I was here for it.
Nice.
I was here for it. You know, we have Vader and Kenobi talking, you know, about, you know, you essentially think that, you know, Kenobi, they're leading you to believe that Kenobi's going to try and finish Vader off. We know he doesn't, but it doesn't matter. And we have now Anakin talking as Anakin. And he's basically like, Anakin's dead. There's only me. You know, you should have killed me when you had the chance. I'm never going to stop. And Kenobi walks away because he knows that he's weak in Vader and Vader can't follow him, but he still can't bring himself to kill his padawan, you know? Not right now, at least. So we get Vader now back, and he's got his, you know, I guess, helmet back in shape, and he's on, and he's talking to Palpatine, right?
Yep.
And I think it's interesting because Palpatine's basically like, hey, you need to fucking fall back in line. Leave Kenobi alone. We have bigger fish to fry. We have something we need to focus on more. You're going to focus on him, or you're going to do what I tell you to do. And Vader's like, yes, Master. So I like that. I liked it a lot. Nice. We're on Alderaan. You know, Leia's now like, she's fallen in line too. She's got to do what she's got to do as a princess, except she's still going to wear her holster, and she's going to take things more seriously. And she goes to greet their new visitors, and her dad's all happy, and her mom's all happy, and then Kenobi shows up, and they're like, oh, hey, everybody. And he's like, yeah, I'll help you guys whenever you need it. Just let me know. So it was a good resolution, I thought. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. Oh, and then, of course, one of the very last things we see when Kenobi's walking away before he goes and meets Luke. Or is it? It's after he meets Luke, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Because there's no PS scene.
Nope.
This was actually the final scene, is that we get to see Qui-Gon Jinn. Get to see his Force ghost. And it's Liam Neeson's being Liam Neeson's as Qui-Gon Jinn. So that was awesome. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I liked the episode a lot. I thought it was good. Can I say the series as a whole was amazing? No, absolutely not. I'd be lying straight through my teeth. Can I say I didn't have problems with it? No, I had problems with it. But I enjoyed it. But probably part 6 is the only episode I'd go back and rewatch.
Nice.
What did you think?
My first note was that before the episode even started, we got a message that said certain scenes some viewers may find disturbing. Why?
Yeah.
What scenes were those? I could only think that maybe it was the flashback of Reva as a child getting impaled, or, you know, about to do the same thing to Luke because it's a kid.
Probably, because it is Disney. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there were aspects of this episode that I did enjoy quite a bit. Overall, though, the series really was bad, in my opinion. So one of the big takeaways for me, and you touched upon it, but you let it go much more than I did, was that all of the danger of this episode was fake. Everything was fake. You know, Reva going after Luke, well, you know she doesn't catch him and kill him. You know she doesn't kill Beru or Owen, because they're all alive in 10 years. So
yes, I didn't know what was going to, my thought on that wasn't like, oh, what's she going to do to them? It's like, oh, what's going to happen to her? Is she as a character going to be killed, or is right. she going to somehow be floating out there? We've never seen her again. But yes. yes, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because these are water farmers, and you've got an Inquisitor of the Sith coming after them. There should be worry there. There should be threat and fear that, oh my God, these characters could die. Nope. They're going to get torched in 10 years and be nothing but charred skeletons. But for now, they're fine. The same thing with that gorgeous square-off samurai in the moonlight saber fight. You know, when they stood there in that open field with the moon behind them, and it was something right out of a fucking Kurosawa film, which is what Lucas always intended the Jedi to be, were samurais. It was fucking a masterpiece. And I looked at that and I said, this is absolutely gorgeous and will mean goddamn nothing. Because no matter what, these two are both walking away from this. So there's going to be a lot of fighting, and it's going to be cool to look at, and it'll have zero emotional depth because they're just going to fucking walk away.
You're not
Neither
wrong.
One of them is going to die.
You're not wrong at all about that.
So that kind of took me out of it. You know, it kind of dampened everything for me because I'm like, I know this is going to be beautiful. That scene right there, I wish I could get that framed on my wall of art. That was gorgeous. Just that one scene. The fight was intense. It was great to see actual force moves, the sabers, watching them really struggle against each other. I think it's hilarious. My buddy Andy sent me a meme picture, and it's a teacher showing pieces of paper to Darth Vader. And the teacher says, so you realize that having the high ground is key to beating Kenobi? Yes. So when you had the high ground, what mistake did you make? I threw the high ground at him. And who had the high ground then? Obi-Wan did. And that was my note, was why didn't he finish him? Like, he literally had him in the hole. He crushed him with all of those rocks, or so he thought, and then he walked away. He could tell that Obi-Wan was not dead. He would have been able to sense that he was still alive. Which, this brings me to another problem that kind of permeates through this whole thing, and I've really been doing my best to let it go. But with all the secrecy around Luke and Leia, with all the secrecy around Obi-Wan hiding out, Jedi read minds. Think about all the times in the original series when they would say, your thoughts betray you. Think about the fight between Vader and Luke in Return of the Jedi, and he's like, your thoughts betray you. They go to sister. Like, he pulled that out of Luke's head, and Luke was supposedly a master at that point. So Jedi can read minds. So how is everybody keeping so many goddamn secrets in this? How is Vader and his Inquisitor team not just ripping secrets out of everybody? How have they not figured out where all of the bases are, who all the people are that are conspirators? Like, it's one of those superpowers of convenience, you know? And it really kind of bothered me. And that's one of my notes, was Force users can read minds. Why would he leave Obi-Wan there? He can still sense that he's alive. He knows he's still alive. Why would he just walk away? But again, it's plot armor. He had to walk away because Obi-Wan has to be there to train Luke later on for 5 seconds. I did love the look inside the helmet. I loved the mixing of Hayden Christensen and James Earl Jones's voices. Holy shit, that was
beautiful. Was so badass, wasn't it?
Oh, and the line that he says when he's like, I am not your failure. You didn't kill Anakin, I did. And it was almost like he released Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan's like, then my friend is truly dead. And that was the moment that he could walk away and turn his back on him. That was beautiful. It was brilliant. We needed to have something like that. I still go back to my original argument that when we see them on the Death Star, Vader says, last we met, I was just an apprentice. Now I'm the master. Or I was just a learner. Now I'm the master.
Yeah.
It still makes no sense continuity-wise by any chance, especially with that fight right there. There's no way he came out of that fight and said, I'm just a learner. But yeah, the visuals were so fucking stunning. That scene, I still can't get over it. I want that as art. I'm going to find a way. I'll go down and print it out at Staples and put it in a frame. But the carving open of the helmet and then listening to those two voices mixing, oh, fucking brilliant. I love that so much.
That was pretty badass.
Palpatine was great, and how he basically jided him, and he's like, I think you're letting him get the better of you. The whole thing on Tatooine, again, I feel like that was kind of shoehorned in my opinion, because you had mentioned last week, you were like, she found the recording, but it didn't say anything, but we got that in the recap. Basically, Jimmy Smith said, if he found you, if he's learned of the children. So that's why she was like, oh, children. Okay. Anakin must have had children. I put two and two together. But again, it was all false danger. And so I don't know. It would have been different if something had happened, like Luke used the force on her and blew her back, and then he collapsed and he never remembered it. Like, that would have been a cool twist. Like, oh shit. You know, he doesn't even realize that he's as powerful as he is. And then he passes out and they're like, no, he can never know about this. But instead, it was supposed to be her redemptive arc. Kind of cool. But, you know, again, Luke grows up and doesn't remember that he was chased down by a Jedi. Because she had a lightsaber. She was chasing him through the desert.
He hit his head.
After she chased him.
Fair enough.
Speaking of things that were kind of shoehorned in, the holster, Leia's holster.
Yeah.
They didn't need to be like, look, Ben gave her the holster that you later see her wearing in the future movies. That didn't need to be. You know, he could have said, why don't you try wearing your hair in little cinnamon buns on the side of your head? And that would have been cuter. But the holster, it's like, he's a Jedi. Like, he used a blaster a couple of times, but that's not like a touching thing, in my opinion. It was more just like, hey, I'm not going to need this anymore. It's junk to me.
Yeah.
And then the first thing she does is put her flying droid in it. The droid flies. Why would you put your droid in a pocket?
So you can walk around with it.
Yeah. I did think that it was very true to her character that, you know, Obi-Wan comes walking down. She had that whole thing where she's like, don't leave me. I want you around. He comes walking down the ramp and she runs right towards him, sees her droid and fucking pivots. She's like, fuck this guy. There's my droid. that was so her character. Like, she's like, my droid. And fuck, and she did. She literally pivoted away from him, went around him to get to Lola, who, again, can fly to her. So that I was like, what a little asshole. But you know, this also further it frustrates me, because I had brought this up last week. So she actually does know that he is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He admits it at the end of this episode and then tells her, I'll always be here to help you, but we'll all be in danger if people know that we know each other, so you can't tell anybody. As if the writers were like, see, we covered our bases. This way she doesn't know him, air quotes, and she won't talk about how she knows him when she makes the recording later on. Wink, wink. No, that was dumb. That was terrible. Like, if they had kept his identity as quote-unquote Ben and never revealed that he was Obi-Wan Kenobi, then it would have been more believable. But the fact that she's like, you're Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's like, yes, but nobody can know that we know each other, and she's like, okay.
That fair part. Enough.
It was weird that he left one old cave behind to go to another cave.
Yeah, that was a little weird, but I mean,
I guess the whole point was that he was finally going to leave Luke to his own destiny. He wasn't going to hover. He wasn't going to be a helicopter parent. It was nice of Owen, though, to be like, do you want to meet him? And we got the nice little scene of the first time that Obi-Wan meets Luke and says hello there. Like you said, you know, that's the end of it. That was cute. Liam Neeson's dude, it almost reminded me of the end of The Wizard of Oz when she's like, oh, you had the power to go home all along. You had the power to tell me that 3 fucking hours ago, bitch. You know, Liam Neeson's is like, oh, I've been here all along. You just weren't ready to see me. The fuck I wasn't. I've been calling out for you to help me all this time. The fuck? And, of course, it's Qui-Gon, you know, so he's just that way. He's like, oh, I was here all along. You just weren't ready to see me. Come on. It's a long walk. Oh. So it actually felt in line with his character, but at the same time, it's like, dude, dick move. Dick move, Neesons.
Yeah, yeah, actually, I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, it was, you're right.
Other than that, though, yeah, this was not a terrible episode. It was a terrible series, in my opinion. I know that plenty of people like it. I know you had a great time with most of it. Yep. I really did have a lot of problems. And this, these last two episodes were better for me. You know, I liked the last one. We forgot to mention, by the way, in episode 5, I can't remember her name now. I want to say Lara, the woman who disguised herself as an Imperial officer, like her sacrifice in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
Her and the droid who like shielded her with his body, yeah, and shut down so that she could live a little bit longer. And then she pulled out the thermal detonator and detonated the tunnel. Like those were Star Wars moments. Like that, yes, was Rogue One-ish right there. That was great. Yes. Very, and I felt bad that we never mentioned it last week. I was like, shh. So yeah, it ramped up at the end there. And again, I think that part of that is the different writing team who really brought it around to what it was supposed to be. I still do have continuity issues. I still do have problems with some of the characters, the way that they were depicted. And my biggest problem, of course, was the plot armor. Like none of the danger felt real. One of the best things, again, I keep going back to it, but one of the best things about Rogue One is that we literally had no idea where any of these characters fit into the Star Wars universe. So you had no idea. So the ending of it was shocking and tragic and heartbreaking. And it could be. Whereas the ending of Solo or the ending of Kenobi, no, there's not going to be any heartbreak. There's not going to be any, right, anything. You know that they're all just going to walk away.
Well, there was some heartbreak in Solo because his woman betrayed him.
Yeah. And it's not that I'm saying that people have to die in order for it to be good storytelling. That's not the lesson here. The thing that gets me is when there's no fear, there's no chance that anything bad is going to happen, and you're trying to interject it with fear.
Right.
Like if you were doing a horror movie and the opening scene of the horror movie shows somebody sitting there in a police station with a blanket around them and a cup of coffee, and they're like, well, you survived. Tell us what happened. And we flash back to 72 hours earlier. I'm already out.
Yep.
Because – I'm like, fuck, this person survived, so what do I care about watching this for?
Right. Anytime we saw her in peril, we knew she was going to make it.
Yep. Yep. We knew Leia was going to make it. We knew Luke was going to make it. Owen and Beru. The one note that I did have was, oh, is this where Owen got his limp from? Because, you know, she kind of knocked him down. And they did a pretty good job standing their ground against a fucking Sith Inquisitor.
Who had just been run through by a saber by Darth Vader.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, yeah, it's not like she wasn't extremely weakened.
So I was like, oh, is this why Owen has a limp? Great.
I believe that's it for TV shows.
I think you are correct, sir.
On the movie side, I did watch a movie. I forgot.
I almost watched a movie, but I didn't.
So a couple weeks back, I forgot to talk about it last time, but the wife and I watched The Godfather Part 2. Whew. It's a good movie. They're both great movies. Mm-hmm. They're just so long and so fucking slow, but they do tell a great story. And then when you finally get there, you're like, okay, good. I saw this story. I'm happy I saw it, but boy, I don't need to watch this again. So anyone that's like, oh, I love, I fucking love these movies. I can't wait to watch them back to back again. I'm like, you are just, that is not for me. I watched Spiderhead.
Oh, how was it?
Not good.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yep. It was really just like, it was just eh.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might still check it out.
Oh, I'll go right ahead. I mean, you may be like, oh, I thought it was phenomenal, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost watched. We were sitting around. We were like, oh, let's find something to watch. We've got some shows and stuff. We're like, we haven't watched a movie in a while. And we're kind of like digging through the stuff that we've got on our list to watch. And one of them that came up was The Last Duel, the one with Jodie Comer and Adam Driver. And,
yeah.
And we were both like, yeah, let's do this. We both really wanted to see it. And then we got sidetracked, and I realized, I was like, that's 2.5 hours. Like, there's a lot that I can sit through. Like, you could say, oh, look at Spider-Man, No Way Home, look at Doctor Strange, you know, the Marvel movies, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, just looking at this at that particular time at 2.5 hours, I was like, I can't do this. So we've definitely got it queued up. It's on the list, but it didn't make it the cut this weekend. I just didn't have the ability to sit still.
We watched it.
I remember you saying you really liked it.
We enjoyed it. It is very long, but we did enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure that we're going to really enjoy it. Just this weekend, I did not have the capacity to sit down for that.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah, so that was it for movies, huh?
That's it for movies. We got some trailers and stuff to watch.
Yeah, trailers and news. Sent you a couple in a row there. Smile. That looks like a horror movie.
That indeed looks like a horror movie. That's scary. No.
Yeah.
Actually, it looks really good. It looks really interesting.
Julia actually looked at it and went, nope, I don't want to see it.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't like horror movies in general, but she watches some of them with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, nope.
Was this the one? Because we got a couple different horror movie trailers that we shared back and forth this week. I think this is the one that's like from a producer of, not the producers of, but one of the producers of this other horror movie you liked.
No, I think that was They Them.
Okay, that was They Them. Okay, all right. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, no,
I think it looks good.
I saw the same thing and I laughed. I was like, from a producer of, I'm like, oh, come on. So this guy just basically slaps his name on shit and hopes that you'll like it.
Basically, yeah. So I thought that looked decent. You sent me the trailer. You sent the trailer to Not Okay.
Uh-huh.
Looks annoying.
Yep. I love Zoe Dutch, though.
But
everything
they do
that
tell
I watch
her,
she's good.
They do give you a warning at the beginning of the trailer that you're not going to like this character.
Yeah. Yep. And
so they're not wrong.
Zoe Dutch does a really good job of playing characters that you don't like. Mm-hmm. The one that I came closest to liking was her character in Zombieland 2, the girlfriend. Oh, my God. I couldn't get enough of her, even mm-hmm. though she was annoying as shit.
Killing It. It's streaming now on Peacock.
The whole reason that I saw this trailer is because I saw announcements that they've been picked up for a second season. And I was like, I have no idea what this is. So I went and watched the trailer. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that is.
Yeah, it looks decent.
Yeah.
I might go check
Love
it out.
Love Craig Robinson. Love
yep.
him.
That'd be the reason why I might go check it out. So.
I thought you'd appreciate the story that the extended PS scene at the end of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness lets Pizza Papa be his new nemesis.
I did enjoy that because it's
I'm coming Papa, after you. So the other one, They Them, coming to Peacock. Kevin Bacon.
That looks great.
Scary summer campy type thing.
Yeah, like my buddy Brendan said, hey, I'm always down for a summer camp show.
Damn straight. And when it's got Kevin Bacon, yep. Ooh, you know it's going to be good.
Yep. No, that looked really good. Comes out August 5th on Peacock.
Yep.
I sent you a big news thing.
Yeah, run this down.
All right, so apparently, so David Gordon Green, who's doing the Halloween trilogy, mm-hmm. is also doing the Exorcist trilogy.
I like how they're calling it a requel trilogy.
Yes, a requel trilogy, because they're going to ignore the other Exorcist sequels and go right from after the first one.
Yep.
This literally is going to take place 50 years later. The original film came out in 73. This one's coming out in 2023.
So literally 50 years later.
Yeah, we're going to see Ellen Burst back, who's playing Chris McNeil again, Reagan, a.k.a. Linda Blair's mother.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if Linda Blair is going to be in it or not, but this trilogy is going to be about another possessed child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like fucking Danny McBride's involved with it again. So
it's so interesting where you've got like Danny McBride involved in stuff like this. You've got Seth Rogen over here doing
The Boys.
Yeah. It's nuts to see these people who, you know, you would just relegate them to think about Pineapple Express. You know, I got to meet my boys at Applebee's. You see these guys and they're just like fucking B-list comedy, you know, stoner. And yet the stuff that they're producing is fucking amazing. So yeah,
really
it just
is.
Goes to show that they can put on a good show in front of the camera, but then off the camera, they're brilliant.
Yeah, and the new one's supposed to come out October 13th,
2023. Excellent.
Westworld premiered this last night. I haven't watched any yet. Did you watch it?
No, I have not watched any of it yet because, kind of like you, I just didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, guess what? I knew that was going to happen. The first film is coming out October 13th, 2023. It's a Friday the 13th.
Of course it is.
You said that. I was like, I got to look it up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
stealing as well.
I didn't have time for Westworld. That's another one that I think I'm going to have to do a recap with Julia. Because what are we on the fourth season now?
Yeah. There's a lot to digest there. A lot.
So much. I know that no recap is going to cover it all, but no. It's good for me too, because it's been years since we started watching that. So yes, I'm sure I've forgotten a lot.
I sent you a trailer for Gone in the Night with Winona
Ryder.
Which
I almost sent to you and you got to it first.
Ah. And then. Yeah, and that's the second trailer, if you will, like you said. Two trailers in a row about double booking a getaway house.
Right?
Yeah, because the next trailer I sent you was Barbarian, which if you're going to go look at this trailer, watch the first minute and then stop watching it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like it gave away too much the longer it went on.
Yeah, it did. I think it did as well, but it looks good. Looks a lot of good trailers this week.
Yeah.
You sent us some news.
Yeah. Allegedly, what I wanted from the beginning is we're going to get Cal Kestis in TV series. Like his own TV series, which could be interesting. It would come to Disney Plus. Cameron Monaghan would be in. They didn't really say what period it would fall in. So, like I said, we had Jedi Fallen Order, which showed him regaining his connection to the Force, facing off against Vader, getting his ass kicked, escaping. Now we've got a second game coming out. I don't know if this is going to take place in between those or if it'll be like a retelling of the original game. I'm definitely down for it because I think that it's a good character, it's a good story arc, and it's people that we haven't met yet, so we could get stories that have nothing to do with the Skywalker legacy.
Yeah, I'm not like this is the video you sent me, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So after watching that, like, I'm not as familiar with the story as you are, but after watching that, I'm ready for it.
Like I said, that one takes place 5 years before the events of Kenobi. So when Luke and Leia would have been about 5 years old, naturally. But by the end of that game, they've got a second game coming out. So it could be happening at the same time. It could be later on. But yeah, I think that it's awesome. I still wish we had gotten Cal Kestis to show up in Obi-Wan Kenobi, but, you know, maybe later. Maybe they have to introduce him first before they can just throw him into a show. I sent you a list of 16 things that were learned from the extras, the commentaries on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Some of them were cool. Some of them were like, eh. Number 10, though, was fucking epic. I never saw that coming.
I have to go back and remind myself which one number 10 was. Stand by. Oh, Armory Darkness prop on display. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pizza Papa had a fork on his hot dog cart. Or popper cart that was the fork that the little Ashes used to stab Big Ash in Army of Darkness. Amazing. Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Such a stupid little nod, but it was just amazing that they did that.
Let's see here.
Oh, you're looking through the...
I'm trying to remember if there was another one that stood out to me.
A lot of them were just subtle.
Yeah.
The big squid monster, the eyeball in the middle of it was actually Elizabeth Olsen's eye. They digitally captured her eyeball and stuck it in there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
No, that I guess that's the only one that really stood out to me.
I sent you the trailer for What We Do in the Shadows Season 4. Honestly, didn't need to watch it because we're going to fucking watch the series.
Oh, but yeah. I wanted to laugh.
It was still hilarious.
Yep. No, I'm a big fan of that show.
You sent me a poster
for Final Destination. Final Destination 6 is going to be on the old HBO Max. I don't have a release date. I don't have a release date for it, but it's going to be on the old HBO Max.
Is it going to be a series or a movie?
It's going to be a movie because it's Final Destination 6, so it's going to be a movie.
Okay. And do you know anything more about it? Like, is it supposed to be kind of like Scream where it
we just got this teaser. That's it. We didn't get anything more than the teaser poster. Because I tried to find some information on it after that. But that's it. It's going to be it's going to be on HBO Max, and they don't even have a year release date for it. But it's just coming. The only plot in it is a group of first responders is now who prevents from being killed.
Oh, that's tragic.
And then now they die mysteriously.
Huh.
So, or you know what I mean? Death catches up to them.
Today I sent you a trailer for The Invitation.
Yeah, another trailer that you don't want to watch too much of.
Nope. Well, this is one of those like 50-50 trailers. The first half of it seems like one thing, and you're like, okay, I thought it was going to be like Taken, you know? Oh, she's going to get kidnapped, ransomed, tortured, something like that. Nope. Then it turns into a fucking Anne Rice novel.
Yeah, it certainly does, doesn't it?
I am absolutely here for it. I'm going to check it out. I think it looks great. Yep. May have been a little bit too much, but yeah, I'm here for it. Did you have any other news?
I do not have any other news or anything.
I had one other piece of news that I found fucking amazing. So they did an interview with Chris Pratt recently, and they were talking about, you know, how he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but for right now, he's in Thor, Love, and Thunder. And they talked about two new characters that have been introduced, Tooth Gnasher and Tooth Grinder, the space goats. So there are space goats with the Guardians of the Galaxy. They were inserted into this movie with one purpose, and that was Taika Waititi wanted to fuck with James Gunn.
Okay, cool.
He said, he's like, we got space goats. I remember Taika was like, I won't do his impression, but he just wanted to stick James with some goats. He was like, I've written the script, mate, and I decided to put some goats in there and see what he's going to do with them. So James has to pick up where Taika left off, and he stuck us with some space goats. So essentially, when Guardians 3 comes out, James Gunn has to figure out what to do with these two space goats. And I think that's fucking amazing. I am so there for that kind of camaraderie, because those two are amazing directors anyway. Taika Waititi, James Gunn, fucking amazing, both of them. And I love that they have this kind of relationship where it's like, no, I'm just going to put two goats in here, and then he has to fuck with them. He has to deal something with them.
No, I can respect that.
Absolutely.
I can respect that thoroughly because, you know, they're friends.
Yeah.
And that's what friends do.
Other than that, though, I think that's about it.
Yep. I don't have any other news or excitement to share.
No. But that's okay. I'm sure next week we'll have even more.
I don't know. I'm working a shit ton this weekend. So I have to get all my watching in today, tomorrow, and Wednesday and Thursday. So I guess I have time to watch stuff because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm just working 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah, but that's the thing is some of the shows don't come out. Like The Boys doesn't come out until Thursday night into Friday.
Right. And so I may not be able to watch that.
So you're hearing it here first, folks, depending on what Mike is able to watch or his schedule being exhausted. We may end up not being able to record next week and we may have to go the week after. So just giving you all a fair warning.
The week after I am in Canada. Monday through Friday.
The hell is wrong with you, man?
It's called vacation with the family. It's called I sold a trading card for $1,000 and I paid for a vacation. Not okay. The gas, just, you know, the lodging and maybe half the
say,
gas.
$1,000 isn't going to cover the gas. You would drive a minivan.
So the grand paid for in Canada 4 nights at this horse ranch over in Hopewell Hill near the Bay of Fundy. That left me with $250 American. So that'll pay for a good chunk of the gas. So
I don't think it'll get all of it though, will it?
No, definitely not. Well, so I get about 320 gallons on a tank. And it's about $72 to fill it. So it'll be, of course, I'll be spending more money in Canada, but like I'll burn a tank. Yeah. So 150. Yeah, I'll probably spend about $400 on gas on this vacation, which is, you know, double what it would have been.
Ooh.
So. Yep. So no, we'll make time to record next week sometime.
Okay.
Because the week after we will not be recording because I'll be in the we'll be in the Canadian Maritimes.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So. All right, but until then, I'm on the Twitter machine. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That is our show.
We'll talk to you next week. Allegedly.